by KWVA Eugene. KWVA and the Community Center for the Performing Arts present The Adolescents with guests The Briggs, Angel City Outcasts, and DEK, Monday, August 8th at the Wall Hall, located on 8th and Lincoln. Show starts at 7:30. For more information, please call 687-2746. That's The Adolescents with guests The Briggs, Angel City Outcasts, and DEK, Monday, August 8th at the Wall Hall. This message has been brought to you in part by KWVA Eugene.
Between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., KWVA Eugene may broadcast material that may be found offensive to some listeners.
The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zosin and the community at large.
While riding on a train going west, I fell asleep for to take my rest. I dreamed a dream that made me sad, concerning myself and the first few friends I had. With half damp eyes I stared to the room where my friends and I'd spent many an afternoon. Well, we together weathered many a storm, laughing and singing till the early hours of the morn. By the old wooden stove our hats was hung, our words was told, our songs was sung. Well, we longed for nothing and were satisfied, joking and talking about the world outside. With hungry hearts still heat and cold, we never much thought we could get very old. We thought we could sit forever in fun, our chances really was a million to one. Easy it was to tell black from white, it was all that easy to tell wrong from right. And our choices, there was few, so the thought never hit. At the one road we traveled, we ever shattered or split. How many a year has passed and gone, many a gamble has been lost and won, and many a road taken by many a first friend such a one I've never seen again. I wish in vain that we could sit simply in that room again. $10,000 at the drop of a hat, I'd give it all gladly if our lives could be like that.
Seventh, and Kiara Carl is here, and Ren is here, fresh from Fair Visions.
Yeah, I was just on the East Coast, and we can talk about that a little bit. Also, we got some Dylan tracks, which I've been thinking about a lot lately, because got an announcement to make. I'm going to be leaving Eugene after 7 years, but don't worry, I'm staying in Oregon, just a little more rurally. But I've been reminiscing of my times in Eugene. I'm going to do a little bit of that later as well. And that Dylan song makes me think of the good old days of Eugene, 1998 to 2002, which I would consider the high point of the Eugene anarchy scene. Not that there's not good stuff that's happened since then, going anarchy among others.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to be living a little more of the green anarchy, but still staying connected and also coming up here a lot. Actually, hopefully on Sunday nights.
I hope so. That's great. You know, it's tasty music to think about in terms of that sort of thing. And it's going to be good to get the report from the Fair Visions way back east. Well, I'm going to start off with some letters here. You know, last week I took a fair amount of time. I don't know what it was, maybe 20 minutes. There was there seemed to be some interest in this Alf Haben review essay of Freddie Perlman's History Against Leviathan. It was kind of a general critique of the green anarchy, anti-civilization type outlook. And I thought I would try to use that, try to go through that to Pauline Quest, and that it might shed some light, maybe a little depth on the whole thing about the left. And some people are very fond of saying that, for me in particular, I just use that as a put-down. It doesn't have any content. It's just who knows what leftism or who's a leftist or whatever. So I wanted to use that in that sense. And there wasn't really any response, which is okay. I mean, maybe there will be. Maybe some people were listening then. Maybe they were considering my take on that. On that particular critique, but there were some other letters, and that's, I'm just getting to that. Just a handful of letters here of, among a lot of letters actually, but these are mostly to green anarchy, and I just wanted to share just maybe a few lines from some of these. Here's just in the past, two or three days actually, these letters. Here's somebody, and I'm not going to give out any names, needless to say, but here's somebody who writes, many people here read your stuff and are in support, keep up the good work, and know you are appreciated by many, though they may be silent. There was somebody who said, thanks for continuing to publish such an interesting and vital magazine. As a recovering leftist, GA has been part of a long journey for me. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard it's therapy for a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Kind of necessary, you know, we do kind of deprogramming or reprogramming or something.
Well, at least the first part.
right. Yeah, that was a joke. this is one from Prisoner. I'm just picking out a line or two here and there, but this is somebody, I mean, I can use a name because they gave their name. Somebody who's in prison elsewhere, let's just say North America, just leave it at that. Says, well, provides, among other things here, You can see this, well, you can't see it, but these are surveillance camera pictures. Look at this is amazing.
Is that what they got busted for?
Yeah, this guy got nailed because of these pictures. It says, he writes in there, how they got me, I didn't leave town fast enough. And here's one from the counter of, I don't know what this is, it's 7-Eleven or something, and he writes, if a person buys a gas can and a lighter at midnight, they're probably going to go liberate something with a little smiley face. And anyway, this individual signs the letter, believe me, I'm not done, and says it's got 46 months to go. So this person did the blitz.
That's about 4 years?
Yeah, almost 4 years. We're burning something down, I don't know what, but... sadly, you're doing some time. And this is also very recent. This weekend, this is when I got, apropos my visit a month or so ago to Istanbul. And one of the encounters was with some folks who do a weekly magazine here. It says, our last interview, this was like 2 weeks ago, with Gurchek Hayat was a real success in terms of reader responses. Please forgive us for, well, let's see, they're going to send a copy. We like Green Anarchy very much, as we were trying to do a similar job in Gurchek Hayat. We were somewhat jealous of Beauty and Richness of Green Anarchy, because I read it a negative comment. Your existence gives us strength. Best wishes from, best regards from Istanbul. So,
yeah, I mean, of course, there's some negative stuff that comes in too, but it is always good to. The majority of it is positive, and it just smacks in the face of those leftists who think that Green Anarchy or the anti-civ perspectives are irrelevant and that stuff.
Right.
Although we did read a letter a couple of weeks ago that was along those lines, but in that stuff. But
D'Artagnan was
they're the minority, the wing nuts.
But they are. But you know, here it's when I think there were a couple of, speaking of negative mail or emails, that when I got a confession maker, but somebody was saying, I'm in particular all washed up like an aging pop star that nobody wants to hear from me, and that's just the old history of everybody. Well, I do get these invitations to speak. You know, I've been traveling a lot, speaking.
And I'm appearing in Vegas, I think, next month at one of those big hotels, right?
I think I'm opening for Engelbert Humperdinck.
Humperdinck, yeah.
Okay.
Can you say that, Carl? Humperdinck?
Wow. But, yeah, but I wanted to say, you know, in all honesty, you know, I get over there and they say, well, it's good to see you, but what they really want, and they kind of, almost always, they kind of confide in us, they say, well, we're glad you're going to do your thing and talk about GA types, you know, wacky anti-civilization stuff. But what we really want is anti-state commies. we want the wind of the leftists.
They figure that you're the end to the anti-state communists.
Right.
Green Anarchy is the only people who will publish their stuff.
Things, no. And that's what's happening. That's the trend of the future. Everybody knows that. And so I go, well, okay, you know, it kind of hurts, but...
So it goes with the whole retro thing that's in fashion now.
Like it is moving.
Yeah, retro politics.
Retro. Yeah.
Put a little stone under it.
We didn't allowed to even go there, but somehow we
got
to
say anti-state politics. Yeah. Anti-state politics. Quote anti-state.
It's too late. Well, we might even get back to that, but do you want to tell something about the...
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still feel a little jet lag, but I was out in western North Carolina, Tennessee. Actually, I was in Tennessee, right on the border there, near where the Wild Roots Collective has their scene going on. Wild Roots is this cool group of people who sort of have a rewilding project going on there. But yeah, Feral Visions 3. The first one was in Pennsylvania. The Coalition Against Civilization sort of women organizers of that line. And then last year, of course, we had it in the Umpqua out here in Oregon, and the Green Anarchy folks and some of the local cool people got that together. Well, this year it was in Southern Appalachia, however, it depends on how far north you are, how you pronounce that, but they call it Appalachia down there. And it was really awesome. I mean, a week in the woods, focusing on everything from primitive skills to DIY, do-it-yourself kind of stuff, all the way to primitive theory. And last year, it was roughly divided about 50-50, maybe 60-40 of theory, 60%, 40 primitive skills. This year, I think it had a lot to do with what people wanted to see, and also since the WildWorks folks were organizing it. This year it was more 70% primitive skills and DIY kind of stuff, and 30% theory, which, you know, I get more drawn to the theory stuff because I do a lot of the primitive skills stuff on my own, like with people that I hang out with. And when I come to these events, I want to sit around and talk theory. But it was still there. It just wasn't as prominent as before. But to be honest, it was just amazing. I mean, people were tanning hides. There was a lot of roadkill there. One interesting thing was, usually these events are all vegan. This one was not. They had a vegan option for people. But otherwise, there was usually a special roadkill in each meal. My favorite was the coconut curry possum.
Ooh, what an intro.
Yeah, it was. You can make roadkill very scrumptious. Is that fine, Carl?
No.
But yeah, there was lots of good stuff. I learned how to make alcohol, which isn't necessarily primitive, but definitely important. If I would have known that all you needed to do was put a little yeast in apple juice and a week or two later you got something you can get drunk off of, I would have done that a long time ago. Don't try this at home, kids.
Really serious theory, though.
Fermenting foods like kimchi, stuff like that. People doing primitive weapons, snares and traps for small animals like squirrels. Lots of different plant walks, plant medicines. I could run down a whole huge list of all the awesome workshops that people gave. There's a few people who are more specialists, like who do that every day as their life. But a lot of it was just people sharing the skills they know. There were a couple of people from Teaching Drum, which is an outdoor school in Wisconsin. Tamarack Song is sort of their unofficial guru. He didn't show up, but two people, Red Wolf Returns, who's written for Green Anarchy, and another guy were there. They really had a lot of cool things to say. And they also did this thing every morning. It was a wilderness attunement class, and you did it 5 days in a row, so it was really good. You know, you get up in the morning, you eat some gruel, and you sit through the horrendous morning circles that are always a part of these events, and dealing with all the logistics, and someone doesn't like a certain dog, and you have to make sure that's tied up, all that kind of stuff. It has to happen, I guess, but once you get past that, we all, not everyone, it was different classes, but a bunch of us did this wilderness attunement thing where it was really about opening yourself up, sort of start trying to step outside of our busyness in our heads all the time. You know, always trying to think about the 10,000 things we have to do, always thinking along the civilized, domesticated mindset of how we approach things, and it was almost like meditation in a way, to open ourselves up to seeing and hearing the world around us. There was lots of different exercises we did. Like, there was this one really cool one where we paired up and one person blindfolded themselves and walked through the woods together, and they would sort of guide us in a direction and make a noise every 30 seconds to a minute, and then we'd know they were in a certain direction, and we'd walk there barefoot, through brambles and over rocks and creeks, and it really opened our senses up to other things beyond the visual and beyond the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And every day there was a whole series of these kind of workshops to open the day and really set the tone for the rest of that day.
Gee.
Yeah, I was really interested in a lot of the stuff the Teaching Drum folks had to say. Didn't agree with it all, but I'll get into that in a little bit, mostly about the infrastructural kind of attacks, where the Teaching Drum people tended to have more of that stuff, we're more interested in learning skills, but we're not against insurrectionary activity. But yeah, whatever kind of workshops, there was a whole bunch, anything you could think of, it was there. Radical sexuality, whatever you could think of, it was there. So it was really, really incredible.
Good turnout. What was the turnout?
It was about 150, maybe 200 throughout the week. So about what last year was.
Mm-hmm.
people came, it was a Wednesday to a Wednesday, and I was surprised. A lot of people were already there by Thursday. And the site was really cool. It was National Forest. There was creeks going through it, so I basically took my boots off when I got there and didn't put them back on until I left, because everybody's had to be crossing these creeks and stuff like that. I really connected to that site over the week. My feet they got tough by the end of the week, and the only time I really had any problems with them was that night going back to my tent after drinking some whiskey. But otherwise, the connection to that place and the people was really an incredible thing. And hopefully this continues on. It's sort of an annual thing now, and next year it's going to be in the Southwest. I've been talking to some people in the Tucson area, and some other folks in Phoenix, and some folks in New Mexico, and it seems like it's going to be northern New Mexico or northern Arizona next year. Which will be really amazing to be in that environment, to have this gathering.
Well, amazing of the different regions now at the place, it seems like, where you're in a region and folks could host it.
Some of the more theoretical discussions that went on was, one is the spirituality. I don't know if that's theoretical, but we had a discussion on spirituality. We had been at the Earth First Rendezvous a few weeks earlier, and both of them went really well. People were really interested in the subject. Growing up in civilization, we sort of feel the spiritual emptiness, and it's usually substituted by some sort of dominant paradigm kind of religion. And once we reject that, which most anarchists do, I'll speak for myself, once I rejected Catholicism, I was an atheist for a while. But then I did that for a long time, and at some point, you realize there's emptiness there too. And I would call myself a post-atheist as well at this point. But they're for years searching for something more, and I didn't want to superimpose this other type of mindset like Eastern philosophy and all that, although that was definitely an influence on me. I wanted something deeper, and so did everyone else that was at this discussion, and we had some really good. Basically, we took the article from the Nukri Yamaki Meditation and Mediation and sort of expanded on that in the discussion.
Oh,
okay. We also had a couple of discussions didn't go that well. There was one on giving up activism and beyond activism, and unfortunately that didn't go as well as I would have hoped. There was too many people who, there was some logical problems with that discussion. There was also a strategy discussion that could have gone better. I think it would have been better if we started at a different level. We didn't start in a more general way, like anti-self strategy, what does it mean? Because it just went off in so many different directions. But then after that, different people broke off throughout the week and had deeper discussions about the infrastructure and how that could be targeted. And actually, that was something that I think was pretty amazing things for myself, at least, understanding what it means, infrastructural damage. Because we talk about that a lot when we talk about strategy against civilization. And I get a sense of like three main avenues for that type of strategy of targeting infrastructure. What I mean by that is, the electric grid, the highway system, internet, whatever it might be, the physical runnings of civilization and the systems that allow it to happen. And there are basically three approaches and then there's definitely a bleed between them all, but the three would be, one is, it's going to collapse anyway, let's figure out how to live outside it, learn from your skills, all that, and if we are going to attack it, the attacks would probably be best on the architects, sort of a Ted Kaczynski kind of approach, that civilization has a momentum, and it's always in this progressive mode of thinking five steps ahead, and it always needs to be in that mode. So if you knock out the steps ahead, you really can't continue. And those steps would be like genetic engineering. It's basically, the whole food supply for the world has been narrowed down to like 10 staples, and where there used to be hundreds of varieties of those staples, now there's like 10. And you need more chemicals to produce these things. So basically, the food supply is down to these narrow little things. And if you're not, so you need genetic engineering to allow them to fight, pests and disease and stuff like that. And if you knock out that, it destabilizes the whole system. So I think there's something to that approach. Although it does miss some of the social component a decivilizing process. The other would be a technical approach. I would consider that like a Derek Jensen kind of approach, that the infrastructure can be knocked out in a technical way, sort of a domino effect, and then, everything's groovy. And I think that's a little naive. I think it misses some of the point. And I think sort of probably for me the most interesting is more of an insurrectionary approach to the infrastructure, that specific systems are targeted. So, electric grid and there's a blackout. And that targeting can allow space to open up for insurrectionary conditions of revolt to happen. So it sort of isn't just this technical solution, but has a social component as well. And these kind of things were discussed, and I thought that was really interesting to get more depth in that. And I hope that these discussions can continue, maybe in future issues of Green Anarchy, along those lines.
Yeah, that sounds great to hear what may be the rest of the picture in terms of thinking strategically along these lines. That's an area that sounds real fruitful. I bet that was stimulating up there. By the way, 541-346-0645.
Well, if you have questions about the gathering, anything like that, give us a call. Yeah. I would say one of the disappointments, as a minor disappointment, was there was slightly less interest in theory and insurrectionary kind of stuff. It was definitely there, but I noticed a little bit less of it than in previous years. And in that way, I think some of the criticisms of Green Anarchist stuff that it has a tendency at points to lean towards a lifestyleism kind of thing, where people just run out in the woods and do their thing and forget that there's a whole world out here that needs to be destroyed.
Well, do you think maybe another factor there is that people already know that stuff already and don't need to talk about it?
I think that's probably the case for some of the people. Mm-hmm. I think other people were not as interested in it. And so I think that, and again, this is a sort of thing. It wasn't like everyone was this way. But I noticed slightly less interest in it than before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to take note of and maybe challenge a little bit more. That theory is important. A critical analysis of it all is essential. And also an insurrectionary approach, that we can't just run wild, but we always need to be thinking about attacking the system as well. It needs to be part of it, part of the equation. Is that a phone call?
Okay. Maybe we should take a break. What else are you going to plan?
Yeah, we got a little more doing here, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory. The idea that at one point we thought we knew what was going on, and then maybe we started to think that things might be a little more complicated than we originally thought.
Tied through my ears, roaring high and mighty traps, pounced with fire on flaming roads, using ideas as my maps. We'll meet on edges soon, said I, proud neath heated brow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Half-wracked prejudice leaped forth, ripped down all hate, I screamed. Lies that life is black and white spoke from my skull, I dreamed. Romantic facts of musketeers foundationed deep somehow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Girls' faces formed a forward path from phony jealousy to memorizing politics of ancient history. Flung down by corpse evangelists, unthought of though somehow much older than I'm younger than that now. A self-ordained professor's tongue, too serious to fool, spouted out that liberty is just equality in school. Equality, I spoke the word as if a wedding vow. Ah, but I was so much older than I'm younger than that now. In a soldier's stance, I aimed my hand at the mongrel dogs who teach, fearing not I'd become my enemy in the instant that I preach. My existence led by confusion boats, mutiny from stern to bow. Ah, but I was so much older than I'm younger than that now. Yes, my guard stood hard when abstract threats, too noble to neglect, deceived me into thinking I had something to protect. Good and bad, I define these terms quite clear, no doubt, somehow. Ah, but I was so much older than I'm younger than that now.
Alright, we're back, and yep, that this tune tonight goes out to a good friend in Santa Cruz who I had a chance to connect to more deeply down at the gathering, who was really into some early doing, and yeah, goes out to you, whoever you are. Yeah, the gathering, just to finish up, overall I think it was an incredible experience. Some of the other things too, Kevin Tucker and Udo Species Trader was there, and it's always good connecting with him. He did some really good discussions on anarcho primitivism, really in a concise, intelligent way, laying out his perspective on the origin stuff. And he raises this interesting sort of like discussion between systematic, or is it material versus what does he call it? Talking about the origins in different ways, like the material elements, like agriculture, scientism, and then there's the symbolic culture end of it, where your priority is. And you really laid out those really well as complementary kind of perspectives on the origins question.
Sorry.
And you have to look at the symbolic culture, time, number, all those things, and also look at the material things, like agriculture, and how that develops into power dynamics. And you laid it out really, really articulately, more than I'm doing right now, because I'm a little sleep deprived. But that was another really important thing that I think happened at the gathering. Overall, though, I'm looking forward to next year as well. I think it's just going to keep increasing. Also, there was a lot of really self-critical kind of stuff there. People weren't just like, yep, we're here, Green Anarchy, we're here. But people really want to challenge themselves and each other. So that was a really important thing to see.
That's one of Leavitt's big priorities, isn't it? They emphasize that we're trying to undomesticate ourselves.
Yep.
Isn't just this sort of political theory, or
yep,
if you call it something like that.
Yeah, definitely. And some people wrote Leavitt's office just, you know, they're in the woods doing their thing, like learning how to cut up roadkill. But yeah, there's so much more. There's a psychological healing that's going on, really questioning how we interact with the world around us and each other. And actually, that's something, you know, they're doing this new column for Green Anarchy called Practical Rewilding, and the current issue is called Facing the False Self, the Practice of Emotional and Spiritual Rewilding. And I think that kind of stuff's really awesome for us to start looking at as well. It's not just a political solution to things. In fact, the political side of it is the least, I think, potent part of it. And in fact, you know, is good to sort of reject the politics. Something you might expect in an anti-politics discussion board, although the politics seem to be really big there. I don't know if that's a jumping board for another discussion or not. But.
Well, it just kind of amazes me that people remember that words like Earth, the natural world, nature, they don't, you know, if you did one of those little word searches or whatever, you wouldn't come up. Maybe with spirit, you know.
Yeah.
Gee, isn't that kind of, isn't that striking? I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's just too basic. Anyway, well, we might.
About the anti-politics board, because I mean, we've been talking about a lot in your show, and I've refrained really from commenting on it because I have higher hopes for it. I don't really get involved in the internet discussion boards, and I have some respect for some of the people who are doing it. I think they have some interesting stuff to offer as far as critique of both anarchists in general and anti-civ anarchists in particular, although I'm not finding it on the anti-politics forum. Maybe it's just because I'm looking at the stuff that particularly pertains to green anarchy and stuff along those lines for our visions. But to me, even though some of the people I think want to have it more an intelligent discussion, it ends up being like a joke board, like a one-line just trashing session. And I'm sure there's some strains or some threads that have intelligent discussion, maybe. But whenever it seems to be around green anarchy or anti-civ stuff, people just, it's just a constant cheap shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's vital that anti-civ perspectives, primitivism, you know, whatever, have be looked at seriously and with a critical eye to point out any shortcomings or flaws that are in it. I think every analysis, every critique needs to be constantly reevaluating itself and looking at, okay, where is something missing? Where is it becoming too rigid? Where is it like not addressing these things? I think that's essential. But when it just becomes this like excuse to trash something, which is all I see whenever it's about green anarchy on the anti-politics board, it really makes me suspicious of people's intent.
Yeah, and I think another part of it, not as fundamental as what you just brought up, but it seems a little ironic that, and this is a generalization, doesn't apply to everybody, but they're kind of refusing to talk about technology, the nature of the technoculture, and that on its own terms, or as a serious sector to think about. If there's a certain reflection, if you don't think about that, then you can miss certain things about your own forms or your own medium, if you will. I mean, there is this tendency that many people have noticed that the thrust in the technoculture is full of this kind of abbreviated,
mm-hmm.
sort of cheapened thing, or with very little attention span, and it's very fast moving. That's why I call it the fast foods approach to, mm-hmm. you know, the KFC approach to things. And that's, I'm not saying that everybody now only gets their information from the internet, but that would be, I think probably some people tend more and more to just, and that also I think foreshortens or makes, tends toward a superficiality. It's just that sort of thing, like you mentioned. And there's less emphasis on face-to-face, there's less emphasis on reading and a more serious deal. That's
living,
a generalization.
Living it, you know, like, I mean, something I've noticed over the years is there's a lot more people who are getting interested in these ideas, whether it's anarchy or anti-civ stuff, at a younger age because of the internet. You know, people I meet 16 years old who are, you know, already pretty advanced in their critical thinking. Yet, at the same time, I mean, that's a plus side of it, but the minus side is a lot of the people I've known who got into it really or moved on to other things, whether that's college or, you know, leftism or whatever, because I think if you, they're getting it through the internet, and when you get it just on the internet, there's not a deeper kind of lived kind of thing that happens there. Like, for me, even though throughout my life I think I've always been anti-civ in a lot of ways, I really didn't start connecting a lot of it in a deeper way and articulating it until I was in my late 20s. And that's after I've lived all these different experiences that made it more real for me. It wasn't this abstract, removed thing that I think is a lot of the way that, you know, people connect to things at this point, if it's through the internet. So I think there's a really, and it's reflected in a lot of discussions that happens. I'm sure all of this, even though I'm complimentary of some aspects of it, it's going to be abbreviated, well, rotten talk smack on anti-politics, blah, 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 blah. That's how it's going to come out. I know it will. You know? And that just shows the sadness of the shortcomings of this type of forum.
Yeah, and, you know, we're all being taken for a ride. We're all being pushed in this direction. And, you know, I don't, even though some people say I do, I'm not actually participating or contributing in terms of, you know, being on the chat board, responding to anyone or posting stuff, but I have checked it out lately. And, you know, there was something that Red Hughes mentioned lately apropos of this very thing. He said, he said, well, virtual socializing may be impoverished compared to actual socializing, but it's better than no socializing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. That's yeah. straight up true. But it's, you know, it sort of seems like almost implied or hidden in there is, well, that's all we got, as if that's the choice, yeah. the choice between virtual socializing or no socializing. And yeah, that's the way it's going, actually. But we don't have to just passively go that way without exactly. thinking about it.
You know, exactly. So. I mean, that Back to Fail Visions was one of the great things about it, to actually have authentic interactions with people, some of whom I've known for years but don't get to, you know, interact with much, and some I just got to meet. You know, and those, that was such more meaningful and real. You know, we could go off and sit by the creek and talk about things deeply, and you know, we couldn't just put this stuff out there and hide behind whatever anonymity or whatever it was. You know, the hide behind the fact that it's posted on the internet. We actually could look in each other's eyes and know where people were coming from. It's a lot harder to be disingenuous if you're face to face. Than it is over the internet.
Well, that's the real level, isn't it?
And I'm sure, you know, the people who take part in these discussion boards have face-to-face relationships with people as well. But to see the priority be this internet discussion board, whatever it is, not just anti-politics, whatever discussion board it is, I've seen it on lots of different ones. I don't see much hope for those kind of discussions.
Yeah, and just seems empirically sort of proven, and whether or not, and you can argue it this way or that way, but there it is, you know, and it's kind of sad. And of course, it isn't just internet chat boards. It's email. It's the whole ensemble. It's the whole nine yards. That's where everything's going, and you know, we're all a part of it. But you know, we don't have to just have it unexamined. I mean, what do we want? I mean, what are we trying to get out of and go toward? You know.
Speaking of going towards, you got some actions for us, I heard?
Maybe I'll just whip through these real fast. We don't have tons of time left. But, yeah, a few action things are always good to throw in. This, of course, was one of the very worst weeks for the U.S. occupiers. On Wednesday, of course, a single roadside bomb killed 14 Marines. There's lots of fatalities. And I think there's at least some more interesting beginnings of resistance to this.
John, I heard, maybe I'm wrong, I heard Marines don't get killed on internet discussion boards. Is that true?
That's probably true. Okay. Maybe just video games. I guess. the whole thing. That's... Yeah. Squatters in South Africa. This is just a little sampling of stuff, and it just shows that struggles and interesting things are happening on every continent. Now, this is a renewed resistance that's broken out again between squatters and these government goons that are called the Red Ants. They try to evict squatters, for example. Squatters have been living, this is near Johannesburg, in a complex of 16 different occupied factory buildings since 1998. The government's been trying to get them out, and they've been fighting back. Let's see, here's one from Peru. Thousands have occupied a giant copper project, a mining project, the Rio Blanco, which is owned by Monte Rico Metals in London. And this is about destroying the earth. It's about polluting streams and destroying fertile land. They've been fighting that. This would be the second largest mine in Peru. Police have already killed 7 people on this fighting, and one cop was shot, and this is certainly ongoing. Up in Canada, it's a smaller deal, but closer to home, up in Alberta, a Canadian National Railway train overturned and spilled oil into a lake, and residents of the town of Webanon have blocked the tracks, and they're pretty angry about that. And here's one in India. Squatters, even 5,000 squatters who were scheduled to be evicted, attacked the home and office of a local government official who apparently has the power to halt the evictions. 20 were injured after the police showed up and fighting began. In Indonesia, Bojong, Indonesia, has a giant waste treatment plant that has been fighting the area for the 8th time since this waste treatment plant was constructed in 2002. People are keeping it from opening because of the pollution, and they have been defending barricades, keeping this thing closed. People are defending these barricades with Molotovs and other projectiles. And let's see, here's another one in the U.S. Not so bad here in Pittsburgh. They closed down again a recruiting center. So yeah, lots of things going on.
Yeah, and that's always encouraging. Is that a phone call we got there, Carl?
Nope.
Someone keeps calling, I guess, and asking to play music. I guess they don't like hearing our voices.
Somebody just keeps calling? Yeah. Or what?
Yeah.
They
can't figure it out.
Well, they'll be happy to know in about 5 minutes. We'll be playing a song, and then a music show we'll be following. But yeah, I just wanted to also sort of give a quick little reflection on my time in Eugene in 3 minutes or less, which is always tough. But yeah, I'm going to be heading out, living my way early. And I've been in Eugene 7 years now, and it's really been an interesting time. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I think it's been an amazing growing experience for myself, and to be able to connect with lots of cool people. And I got here in 98, just when lots of things were starting to pick up here. You were a big part of the stuff that was going on then, John. The anarchist stuff that was just starting to pick up, Icky's Tea House, and the Black Clad Messenger, Black Army Faction stuff, the little mini riots that happened. And yeah, I was happy to stumble across that. I didn't even know there was an anarchist scene in Eugene when I moved here. For me, it was more like, yeah, I'm going to leave California because it's too expensive here and there's lots of trees up there. And it really worked out. The early days of like Fall Creek before it degenerated into whatever it degenerated into.
And somehow you managed to play a role in all that stuff that was surprising to a lot of us. What happened, huh?
Yeah, and then after June 18, 1999, things really picked up in this town in Seattle, and I just think about all the amazing things that did go on, and Cascading Alive for 4 years, being a part of that show was really amazing. And I think we did some amazing stuff here in Eugene. I mean, we made a lot of mistakes, but that's what learning is about. That's what growth is about. You stumble. Growing isn't about running, it's about stumbling, I think.
And people go into other things, like Subversive Public Theater, you were very big in that, and that's common ground, but other things are happening in the Green Energy Project. Wow.
Yeah, lots of cool things have come from Eugene. And, sometimes I get bitter about how things didn't really pan out in some regards, but in other ways, it went far beyond what I think, my expectations were. Who would have known in 1999 that there'd be a magazine that was global, that went around the world, 8,000 copies, and that it went beyond just a, crude kind of like anti-authoritarian message to something that goes much deeper than that.
Like this, like the email from Wisdom, they just feel like we're right in sync with that and trying to you know, do the same thing in their way, you know, and be part of its group.
Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely leaving with mixed feelings, and definitely a lot of good reflections on what we've accomplished here and what's going to continue to go on here. But also, you know, there's some negative side to it as well. I think I overestimated some people in this town as far as their seriousness in questioning civilization or authority or hierarchy. People who have drifted to the left, shall we say. No names will be included here, if you know who you are. Those who have drifted towards liberalism, people who put out a little zine that actually have, there's a quote in it that said, those who complained about the cops and didn't vote, you know, they deserve what they get.
The supposed anarchist.
Supposed anarchist who runs a zine collection in the local library.
When this crowd has drifted to country western.
And then, you know, also something that's unavoidable in any of these scenes, the venomous people who just want to destroy everything around them that they see going on, and just, you know, and I'm not going to name names here either, but because those people know who they are, these people are going to be happy. They're probably having a party knowing I'm leaving. But I'm not leaving with my tail between my legs or in defeat. I'm leaving because it's a big world and there's lots of things to do out there, and I've played my role here and it's time for me to move on. I'm definitely not leaving because I've been running out of town, as they would have hoped.
That's for sure.
And I'm going to be coming back and making my presence here as often as I can. So moving on to a new phase, hopefully a deeper phase, you know, being able to actually live some of this stuff a little more deeply than